my personal reaction was one of dismay, I have to say. But then stepping back to think about it, I do think it's important, just going to the Jesuit thing of discernment, what can we read, if you like, from this election and what it means, no more than what happened in Britain with the Brexit. And it seems to me that it's saying something about a deep dissatisfaction, which is very prevalent now, particularly in Western civilization. So in all our great so-called capitalist countries, if you like, the United States and Britain, we can see it manifesting itself in France and Germany and in Ireland itself. Again, just looking at Ireland, it's a much less sharply defined situation, if you like. But the fact that in this year, 2016, 100 years after the rising, we can have people sleeping homeless on the streets of Dublin is a real cry, if you like, that something is wrong.
And so I suppose what you're alluding to there is that part of that deeper issue are people who feel totally excluded from any sense of power, from any sense of control over their lives, and that those lives are quite impoverished.
That's right. And I suppose what's very apparent is the disconnect between those people and, if you like, the establishment or the elites. It's not to say that the establishment doesn't have good things to say, a lot of expertise and so on, but they're just not believed anymore because of that disconnect. But one of the voices to articulate that is the Pope, Pope Francis, in his different writings and in his way of conducting himself. He's been very clear that the way the world is organized at the moment is in favor, if you like, of the rich. So he says no to an economy of exclusion, no to inequality. He's very clear about the effects of global warming and the need to relook, if you like, at our economic model. Our own president, Michael D. Higgins, has done great work in that respect as well, trying to alert us all. And I think for the most part, our establishment, including the academic establishment and the media, we try to satisfy ourselves with tinkering about the edges. And maybe this is a real wake-up call that the model is broken. I think the model has been built on the whole liberal idea, which is focused on the individual. And we really need to look at the common good more, the idea of society, the way we can be together, the dignity of each person. And that kind of a model isn't apparent in the capitalism. It is very much the survival of the fittest at the moment. And people who don't survive feel very angry. And that's manifesting itself.
And yet the irony of that is that people like Donald Trump, when he is talking about uniting everybody under the banner of the United States of America, and he said that very much in his acceptance speech. And also you had that in the Brexit, like, let's get back to Britain the way it was, you know, a harking back to some kind of time when everybody was one and unified. The flip side of that being the exclusion then of other people rather than a genuine understanding of the common good that does include everybody. It tends to become exclusive for some reason, and people go along with that and vote for it.
Yeah, and I do think Catholic social teaching at its best, it talks about a civilization of love and globalization in terms of everybody having a part. And I agree with you. I think that the way Trump up to now has articulated, he's articulated the anger well, but his solution doesn't seem at all in line with what one would hope for. So it's increased isolationism, and it's unlikely in its present form to lead to something constructive. But there is then the task of visionary people coming forward. I think that's what we're lacking at the moment. It was there, for example, in the European Union back in the late 50s when they gathered together and they had a vision of the future. And as late as Jacques Delors in the late 80s, 90s, that vision was still alive. But I get a bit dismayed at the European Union as well. I'm for it. I think it is a great concept. I think it's done great good. But you get a sense of a complacency there and an elite which is out of touch with the sufferings of a lot of people and an inability to respond constructively to that. And it seems to me that that's what's being asked of us. If we're looking at it in a discerning kind of way, we're really being told, look, there are people suffering. There are people in the streets of Dublin and the streets of Ireland sleeping out. That should not happen in this day and age. And that's the way we've organized. And we've organized our society in such a way that whether it's guards or nurses or young professionals, they can't afford housing. So it seems to me there's a real wake-up call there to all of us, but to politicians as well, to take on board this challenge more seriously than we have been doing.
during this election, we've heard of certain sections of Catholic people saying they wouldn't vote for Hillary Clinton because of her stand on abortion. Mm. And yet it seemed okay that everything else Donald Trump said about women, Latinos, black people building walls, that somehow that didn't matter as long as you weren't pro-abortion. Mm. And of course, we know Trump changed his position on that anyway. Mm. I suppose what I'm wondering is, how do you tackle that kind of response that people have, where there are real issues that are to be addressed, and yet when people go to respond to them, it's not in the way you're talking about. It's in a way that allows for really the kind of rhetoric that was abhorrent to many good people, even Republicans, that Donald Trump came out with, and yet still saw him becoming one of the most influential men in the world.
Yeah, I think it's been one of the very sad features of the debate, the presidential debate, but also I'd say debate within Europe at the moment, just that coarsening of debate. It's probably not been helped by the misuse of social media, if you like, where sound bites and more insulting kind of comment is more taken for granted or more permissible. But I do think that it again means a challenge to people who think differently to try to create a more civil discourse. And to do so, I mean, I think that's the Christ-like thing. You do so bravely and assertively, but not thinking you're always going to win. And for a long period, you may not win, but just keep being civilized, keep being civil, keep trying to present arguments in a calm kind of way. I think that's terribly important. And I do think then with regard to what the church particularly can do, I mean, I've been very influenced myself in my own life as a Jesuit in different assemblies, particularly of Jesuits, of province congregations or general congregations, where there is that attempt to listen to another. And very often we disagree very radically with one another. But put people together over, in the right circumstances, over a longer period of time, pray a little, get them to reflect and so on, and you can see a group moving. You can see perceptibly a group moving. Now, that's not easily replicated in wider society, and yet there are elements of that which are. And Brian Grogan has done very good stuff on group discernment applied to civil bodies as well. And I do think that's one of the ways forward, and particularly a way that we as Jesuits and our associates can work for, that we can create spaces where that kind of discourse is possible and people can listen to one another without caricaturing one another or writing one another off in a stereotypical kind of way. I mean, it's not that there's any magic solution. Human beings argue with one another and groups argue with one another, and it can be very conflictual in the short term. But I think over a longer period of time, if you get the right conditions in place, there can be movement in a good way. I've just finished reading Robert Harris's book Conclave, talking about the imagined election of a pope, and it's full of politics and so on. And I think any gathering of human beings is full of politics, but you can do politics in a way which is more constructive, I think. And I do think that certainly the Jesuit experience that I've had has been good that way, that we don't always get it right, but there is a respect for what's happening. And I suppose a respect for the fact that ultimately we believe that God is acting in this world, that the Holy Spirit is acting, and that we're trying to cotton on, if you like, to the traces of God and the rhythm of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just our own work, and not even more importantly our own work. I think that is a perspective which obviously secular people won't agree with all the time, but nonetheless, just that listening for the Spirit in a good sense, I think, can be applied more widely than just to religious people. And people know when they're doing violence to others and when they're not allowing truth to emerge. People grasp that, whether they believe in God or not.
Finally, a friend of mine sent a text early this morning. Feminist Catholic woman, very upset, and said, listed the Farages, the Trumps, the people that are worrying, the Le Pens, the whole lot. And then she said, and where are the prophets? Basically, that's what you're calling for. The prophets have to speak in church, in Jesuits, and in ordinary life.
Absolutely. And I mean, it is a time, as they say, that was my first reaction to the election, was one of dismay, I have to say. But the second reaction was, what is happening here? And can we call it in a way that brings about real change? And I think we need the voices of prophets for that. People who are willing to call for radical change and not just tinkering. We're entering into a period, it seems to me, where we need a lot of hard thinking and visionaries who can put words on what we're grappling with at the moment, which is very concerning. And I think one of the ones who's been doing that since he came into office has been Pope Francis. I think he's been excellent. He's tapped into something that obviously has resonance much wider than just the Catholic Church, or much wider than people of faith. And I know my own brother lives over in England and who's given up on the church for a long time, suddenly finds himself, his favourite newspaper is the Guardian newspaper, and suddenly the Pope is the Guardian newspaper hero, and he kind of doesn't know where to go with that. And I think it's a good parable, if you like, for what's happening to many people, that we need to look to signs of hope and to spokesperson, men or women, coming from whatever background. And I think we're very blessed at the moment to have such a spokesman in Pope Francis.